Yes. Father, we give you again this meeting. We ask you to speak to us through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pray that your light will shine into the heart of each one of us.
Amen.
And touch our heart.
Yes.
Enlighten us.
Yes.
Amen. To save us to the uttermost.
Amen.
To give us the washing of the water in the Word.
Yes.
Yes, we all need you. We all need to turn back to you.
Amen.
For the healing, for the strengthening, and for your supply to lead us to maturity.
Amen.
Time is so short, and we pray that you will help us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. It's really amazing that here in Isaiah, so many things was covered. You know, the book of Isaiah is a very complete book. It is the most quoted book in the scriptures by the Lord himself and by the apostles. So a lot of people consider Isaiah as the fifth gospel, because especially when you go to Isaiah chapter 53, it talks so much about the work and the sufferings of Christ, his redemptive work. It is described in such a complete way. Right? It is considered by some and called by some as the fifth gospel. And I hope that you all will be impressed with the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11. Have you gone through Isaiah chapter 11? Yeah? You're in Quezon City? Let us go to Isaiah chapter 11 again. I think it is good, especially for the ones from the south, from Mindanao. Let's go again. To really see the Spirit which rested on Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Let us just quickly go through. There's so many things here in Isaiah. We cannot cover everything. Chapter 11, it's talking about Christ being, from the stem of Jesse. Right? He came from the line of Jesse and the line of David, the kingly line, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So in Revelation he says he is the root and the offspring of David. And now as the servant of the Lord, it says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Many times we are very general concerning the matter of the Holy Spirit. And if asked to describe what kind of a spirit is it, I think very few Christians can really describe. And here, especially to accomplish God's purpose, this is the short description of the Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. In order to accomplish God's will, we need a lot of wisdom from above, because man's wisdom to build up his church is not adequate. Our wisdom is very limited, fallen as well, and also earthly. To accomplish God's plan, you need God's wisdom.
Yes.
This is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 1 and 2, Paul did say that wisdom of men, God, before God's eyes, it's foolishness.
Yes.
And then Paul, in a, which word should I say, in a very, I just can't think of the word. He says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Right? How would you use the word to describe this kind of a saying? It's not ironic. Sorry, help me, somebody. Of course, God is not foolish. With God, there is no foolishness. But in order to take the point across, Paul says there, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Right? So, of course, there's no such thing as foolishness of God, but Paul is using such a phrase to express how men's wisdom compared to God is nothing. So to do heavenly work and to do the will of God on this earth, you cannot use man's capability, man's wisdom. That's why in Zechariah chapter 4 it says, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Right? So here you can really see the wisdom that is in the spirit resting upon Christ is the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. Because the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. So man, in his own wisdom, they didn't know God. You can be a very wise man according to earthly standard, but to know God, you need more than the wisdom of man. So here, it is the spirit of wisdom resting upon Christ and the spirit of understanding. To understand the Word of God, you need the Spirit. And this is why Paul prayed in Colossians that the saints there in Colossae that God will grant them a spiritual understanding, because spiritual things require spiritual understanding. Don't think with human understanding you can fully grasp the Word of God. You may be able to understand a few things, but the deep things of God, what is in God's heart, you need a spiritual understanding. This is why we need a renewing of our mind. Without our mind being renewed, that's why we have so much trouble among all the Christians, because each one interprets and understands the Bible according to his own human, fallen, darkened understanding, and this is not possible. So we need a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Many times you can see the prophet, especially in Zechariah, for example, right after seeing the vision of the golden lampstand, the angel asked him, do you know what it means? He said, no. No. He didn't even attempt to try to understand it by himself. Right? So he says, no. Tell me, show me. Right? So the angel showed him. And of course, without the spiritual understanding and explanation from the angel of the Lord there, how could he understand? Who are the two witnesses? What are the two olive trees? What do they stand for? And what about those pipes there? Right? And what is the golden lampstand? And if you ask me concerning the golden lampstand, what is it? Oh, I would tell, of course, it's a lampstand. It gives light. And it's out of gold, right? But the angel says, the meaning of that golden lampstand is, it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Right? And this is a completely different understanding from my explanation. If you ask me, what is that? If you ask me, what is this? I say, of course, it's tea. But maybe God has a different understanding of what it is. Right? So, Praise the Lord, we need the spiritual understanding. Do not read the Bible just by your own understanding. But by the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and then the spirit of counsel. Even if you understand, you still need the Lord's counsel for the application, when to use it, how to use it properly, how to use it most effectively, and when to apply it in a certain situation. You still need to ask Him. Right? It is very important that we know the Spirit is a spirit of counsel, because He is going to teach you all things. What John said, the Lord said to us in John chapter 14. When the Spirit comes, He will teach you all things. Right? And this teaching is not just teaching the Bible, but in very practical area, in very practical things. Right? Confronted with a situation, how are you going to react? Are you going to react by yourself, or are you going to react according to the Spirit? Then you need to turn to Him and says, Lord, show me. What should I do in such a situation? Right? And His name is Counselor. You have the best counselor and you don't go to Him and ask Him. Right? Spirit of counsel and spirit of might. Because you may know how to do it, but you still need His power to do it. Not by your own power. Many times the children understand, okay, I know it now, let me do it. But to do it, you need some strength and power, not just some instructions. So to do certain things, especially in the work of God, not only you need His instructions of how to do it, but you also need His strength and power to carry it out. It's a big mistake if you think you know how to do it, but you do it by yourself. And that's where many Christians make this terrible mistake. Well, I know how to do it, so Lord, you stay there, I'll do it for you. That is a big mistake. No. Because to do heavenly things, you not only need the understanding and the counsel, but you need His strength, the strength of the Holy Spirit, to carry it out. If not, it's not going to work. And of course we need knowledge. The spirit of knowledge, it is very different than theological knowledge that you learn from books. There are much higher knowledge of the person of God than just the knowledge of the Bible. Yes. Many of us thought we know God because we believe in the Bible. But this is only an objective knowing. You only have the objective knowledge. Right? If I want to know Charlie, how do I get to know you, Charlie? Which book should I read? Tell me, which book? Sorry, there's no book about Charlie. Poor Charlie. Nobody writes about him. Right? So, how can I know you, Charlie? You should tell me, come to the Philippines and stay with us. Right? I can say, I know Charlie. But how much do I know him? I don't think I really know him. But your wife, your Anna, where is Anna sitting right there? Oh, he knows you very well. Inside out. Right, Anna? Right. Nobody can know your hubby more than you. By which book? Which seminary or cemetery? No, it's by being with you all the time. And this spirit of knowledge is not just giving you some objective teachings about God. No, it is a very wonderful, intimate knowledge through the fellowship. Right? Like what John says, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. That knowledge is irreplaceable. You cannot have it in any other way. So many of the preaching today is just objective knowledge interpreting the Bible. And it will not help. No one, it didn't work. But to serve the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, he needs the spirit of knowledge to show him the reality of this wonderful God. Yes, so that we can be brought into the fellowship of the Father and of the Son. And then, the last but not the least, the fear of the Lord. I really appreciate this point. I can really testify to all of you, especially the young people. Many years in my life, I was by myself, alone. It's not easy to be alone, right? Away from the church, away from the family. What really kept me is not just faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And you'll be confronted with many things. But if you have the fear of the Lord, that fear of the Lord will preserve you. Really will preserve you. So here in verse 3, although there are so many aspects of the Holy Spirit described in verse 2, the Lord's delight is not in the wisdom and knowledge. I think all of us will appreciate wisdom and knowledge, right? There are six items here. Three pairs, six items. I believe many of us will choose wisdom. Right, Frank? All the Chinese love wisdom. Wisdom, of course, I'll choose wisdom and understanding and maybe some power, right? And a little knowledge is not too bad, right? You will not choose the fear of the Lord as your delight. Would you? If you do, you will abstain yourself from doing a lot of things because you fear God.
The Lord
is the beginning of wisdom.
Go for the Lord first,
yes.
The second.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Right. So the last point will bring you back to the first point. But if you just have the first point without the last point, you will think you are so wise and you don't need God anymore. At the end, you will just rely on your wisdom and not on God. That is why it is very good to have this, all of this point there. But the most important one, the delight of the Lord is in the fear of the Lord. And that's why it says here, why is that his delight? Then he will not judge by the sight of his eyes. Because if you are so wise, you begin to judge by what you understand, what you know, what you think. You're so wise, you don't need God anymore. You'll apply your wisdom. You'll put God there. Right? And so many times we judge according to our own eyes, what I see, how I understand it, so we judge. Maybe in the world it is okay, but not in the church life, not in Zion, not in the city of the living God. You cannot judge it just by what you see and what you hear. Right? Well, I just heard recently, do you know this, John? I said, I don't. believe it. That means I don't take everything that I hear. My ears is oftentimes mistaken. Right. But especially in the church life, you judge by the Spirit of the Lord. You judge by what the Lord sees, because there are many things you cannot see, you do not know. You can only see outwardly, you cannot see through the heart. But our God is a God that searches the inward parts of the heart, the hidden parts of the heart. I cannot see it. Maybe I can guess. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a hit and miss. And usually it's a miss and not a hit. Right? Because we're guessing. But God doesn't guess. God knows. His name is He who is, He who was, and He who is to come. He is past, present, and future. Right? He knows everything. And so He doesn't need to guess. For me, I'm guessing. And a lot of times I guess and I'm wrong. And so don't guess. You ask the Lord. Yeah? So, He doesn't judge by the sight of His eyes, nor decide by the hearing of His ears. So learn this in the church life, otherwise you'll all be stirred up just by what you see and you judge. And by what you hear, you're all, wow, oh, did you hear this, John? You know what happened? John will say, what? Oh, yeah, do you know? I don't even know what happens. Because I don't like to listen to so many junk. But you know, there's so many junk. It's not that I don't believe. It's not that I'm a fool. But no, I don't believe just what people tell me. It may be true. It may not be true. But hey, I want to bring it to the Lord. And if I know, so what if I know? Can I help the situation? It just makes me mad at this or that will make me mad. Why should I be mad? I'm not even sure what is right and what is not right. Right? So in the church life, learn from the Lord Jesus. Do not judge by what you see and what you hear. Right? And I'm sure if we all hear the same story, we're going to have different reactions. Because I will react differently, and he will be neutral, and he will be negative, and he will be positive, and I don't know what else. And at the end, the whole church will be in shambles. No. Why not bring everything to the one who knows all things? And pray. Instead of you know what I mean. In other words, yak, 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 yak. And it becomes yucky at the very end. The more we yak, the more everything becomes yucky. You know what yucky means? Huh? No? It's not a Filipino English word. It's not Taglish. Something yucky, yuck, means it becomes terrible. Garbage, it smells, terrible. So don't yuck. The more you yuck, the yuckier it gets. No, pray to the Lord. We all pray to the Lord. Because your speaking will not help. My speaking will not help, but my prayer to the one who can really help. That will help. Learn this in God's house, in Zion. Right? But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. There's judgment. Right? And with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. So he will be able to help the poor. There will be equity for the meek. but there will be judgment. Right? But his judgment will be righteous. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Praise the Lord. That is how our Lord served on this earth, as the servant of God. And for that, you need a spirit and believe the word of God. It is exactly the same spirit that rested upon Christ that today also rests upon us. Except our trouble is we don't use it, we don't apply it. We ignored it, we put him aside, we don't turn to him. So we need to learn. Praise the Lord. Right? Oh, where am I? I'm distracted. By chapter 11. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. Right? The Lord wants to build up Zion. Now let's come to page 3. We are not going to the sixth woe, because the sixth woe is against the destroyer, the plunderer. Again here it is talking about the coming of judgment. The beast, the plunderer. Ushering in the day of the Lord's vengeance, the winepress of God's wrath. And if you want to know this, you have to read also Zechariah and the prayer of the saints there and the desolation, so you can really see. But we don't need to get into that. You can read it yourself, because that is not that important for us today. But Roman numeral 4 in page 4 is important. That means the goal of all this judgment is the restoration of Zion. Zion is important. God wants Zion, his kingdom, the city of the great king. It's not for you and not for me, primarily. It is for him. What is the church life for here in Quezon City? For you to have nice fellowship, to have a meeting, a place to go, or to listen to some messages, or the church life is for you. Zion, we are here building the city of the living God. Remember again Hebrews chapter 12. You have come to Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the unshakable kingdom. This is what God is building today with us. And don't just think of the church as a place where we meet together and I don't know what else we do in the church life, right? But here, we are here building the city of the great king. And so the whole book of Isaiah shows us this judgment. It is because God wants to restore Zion. And without judgment, it's not possible. You know, in the past years, we talk about enjoyment, enjoyment, enjoyment. Oh, we enjoy this, I enjoy that, I enjoy that. But at the end, what kind of an enjoyment it is? Did you enjoy the Lord? What do you mean, enjoy the Lord? I'm not saying there's absolutely no enjoyment, but there is not only enjoyment. Is your life consist only of enjoyment, Brian? More enjoyment than hardship and hard work and wow, this and that, or is it just enjoyment? Vacation every day? No? Take a trip once a week to Dubai, or I don't know where. I don't even know the best place to have vacation. I haven't even been to Boracay. I don't know what kind of a place it is. It's a boring clay, I think. Don't know how to even pronounce it. So,
Just enjoyment in your life?
Definitely not. And why do we all just talk about enjoyment? When we're talking about the Lord, did you enjoy the Lord? Did you enjoy the Word? Paul says the Word will rebuke you, will expose you, will correct you, show you the way of righteousness. And he didn't mention the word enjoyment. Maybe Paul forgot. And it is to make the man of God what? Perfect. Enjoyment will not make you perfect. Cruise once a month will perfect you, right? How about that? You think it's going to perfect you? The Word of God is more, much more than just for us to enjoy. Right? And so you can really see the book of Isaiah. Is it enjoyment? Are you all enjoying the book of Isaiah? I'm not saying it's absolutely no enjoyment, but it's healing. It's very healing. And it cuts through the heart, and there's judgment. Did you enjoy the woes? So let's have a change of our definition. Use less the word of enjoyment, but use more the word of experience. Are you experiencing the Word of God? Yeah. Is the Word of God healing you? Is the Word of God working in you as medicine? Yes, it is sweet in our lips, but it is bitter when you eat it. Both John says this in the book of Revelation, and also Jeremiah says. So, is bitterness enjoyment? Right. So, is medicine an enjoyment? Oh, I enjoy eating the medicine today, especially the Chinese medicine. Oh, what an enjoyment. You're drinking. Oh, did you enjoy it? Enjoy it. But it's necessary. It heals you. Right? The more bitter the medicine is, the better it is for you. Yeah. So, many times the Word of God is really medicine for me. It exposes me, it shows me how holy He is and how unholy I am. Right? How perfect the Lord is and how imperfect I am. That I need to be saved to the uttermost. Right? It's not enjoyment, 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 enjoyment. At the end, you remain exactly what you were 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago. No change. So, the goal of this is the restoration of Zion. And without judgment, it is not possible. Not possible. So, in that day, many times it says there, in that day the Lord will save and defend Jerusalem and the remnant. Praise God. The book of Zechariah tells us that in that day, in the last 3.5 years, 2/3 of the Jewish people will be destroyed. 2/3. And the rest of the 1/3, God will bring them through fire to refine them and make them holy. Now, if God will do that with those Jews, you think you don't have to be refined by Him today? There are many things that need to be burned away. Right? We need to be sanctified. So here, the Lord will save and defend Jerusalem because it is His city, the city of the living God. And Zion and Jerusalem will be restored. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But in what cost? Right? Amen. And then it says here, let us read this verse. Yeah. Isaiah 35, 8 to 10. I like this highway. It's a very special highway. Not like what you're building from QC to the airport. It's a different highway. No traffic. Chapter 35, I'm sorry. Yeah. Amen. 8 to 10, right? A highway shall be there, a road, and it shall be called Highway of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. What a wonderful way. You don't need a GPS anymore. No more GPS. Nobody will have to tell you where to go. No map has to be drawn. Nothing. Even if you are a fool here, does not really mean a fool, but a very simple person. Right? You will not get lost in that way. Praise the Lord. Today, there are so many crooked ways you get lost. Right. Amen. And, yeah, although a fool or a very simple person walking in this way shall not go astray, nor lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beasts go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, the remnant. Right? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with weeping, singing. Praise the Lord. With everlasting joy on their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrows and sighing shall flee away. Praise the Lord. Right. And I hope that today we will all learn to walk in the highway of holiness. There's only one way to walk, not many ways, okay? There's only one way that leads to Zion. Many ways it leads to Rome. Because all the crooked ways, all the dirty ways, all the evil ways, they all lead to Rome. But you want to go to Zion, there's only one street, one highway, and that is the highway of holiness. Because our God is holy. Remember, He says, be holy, because I am holy. And remember, Hebrews 12, to be holy, you have to be, today, you have to be chastened, disciplined by Him, so that we can partake of His holiness. Right? Praise the Lord for the highway of holiness.
Amen.
You won't get lost there. And no lion. If there are many lions there, or beasts, or all kinds of ravenous beasts, make sure that will not lead you to Zion. It's going to lead you to somewhere else. It's a lot of traps, and this, and that, and left, and right. No, no, no. Right? You're in the wrong path. Wrong way. And make a U-turn quickly. run away from that way. Amen. Let us all take the highway of holiness. Then all shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God in Zion. Amen. If we are building Zion today, there has to be glimpses of glory. If there's no glory, something is not so right. A normal church life must be filled with the glory of the Lord. Not the glory of man. No, if man is getting the glory, that is definitely the wrong place. Right? So, today, in the church life, we exalt nobody except our Lord Jesus Christ. While Jesus was on this earth, there was no glory for himself, but all the glory was given to God. And in Zion, if it is truly Zion, all the glory will go to him. If the glory goes to certain people, I'm 100% sure that is not Zion. If we are in Zion, then you will see the glory of God, and all the glory will go to him. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we continue? Or not? But Zion is important. Let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I think it is good to end with 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2. We all know the verse by heart. Yeah, because for the last 2 years we've been talking about 1 Peter. But it is good again, because for Peter, the church life, he didn't mention the word church, but he mentioned the word what? The name? In verse 6, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, right? And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. And certainly, Peter is referring to the church. Because in Matthew 16, the Lord says, I will build my church. And then he changed Peter's name from Simon to a stone. Peter means a stone. And so here in chapter 2, it says, coming to him in verse 4, coming to Christ as to a living stone. And Peter could have said, well, the stone is for building of the church, like what Paul says. But Peter here did not use the word church. He quoted Isaiah. The chief cornerstone, behold, I lay in Zion, chief cornerstone, that is in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. You see, even Peter read Isaiah. And he loves Isaiah, I'm sure. Only people who thought today that's Old Testament, you don't have to read it anymore. But at least Peter loves it. And the Lord Jesus loves it. And all the apostles, they love Isaiah, so we should also love Isaiah. Right? So Peter used Isaiah. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. So that means Peter understood the church is not just a gathering of God's people, but a church is really for the building up of Zion. And it's built up with living stone. So are you living or are you not living? Give yourself this morning an assessment. You also, as living stones, as living stone. The word living. Tell me, are you living? Living. What does it mean, living? Not just barely alive, half sick. If you're all the time sickly and lie in bed, yes, you're alive, but you're not very living. Right? To be living is to be full of life. Because the Lord cannot build up Zion with people who are dead. Like Sardis. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. So are we living stone or are we dead stone? Assess yourself, John. Are you living? Or are you half alive? Well, we have to assess ourselves. And by living, I'm not just talking about, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I've seen that many years ago. But I thought that was being living. But that was not. No. Living is that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the life of Christ. This is to be alive. Now, oh Lord, amen, hallelujah, oh Lord. You know, I did that many years ago. Did you? You too, oh my goodness. We were classmates. We were schoolmates before. But that is not really living. That is being active, lively. But it's not living. Not full of life. You don't see the Lord Jesus jumping around. Right? I don't see the Lord Jesus jumping around. And I used to think that was to be alive and living, but that wasn't. To my shame, I would say, well, I did a lot of that. Anyway, praise the Lord, we have to be full of life to build the church, a living stone, not just a few. You cannot build the church with just a few, five living brothers, but the rest are dead. You cannot build Zion like that. No, every single one of us must be a living stone. In order to build up Zion. So the key word is not just a stone, but a living stone, full of life, filled with the Spirit. Just like in the book of Acts, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Their life there is so strong. And it expresses the glory of God. Right? The living stone. And this living stone, just like Christ, will be rejected by men. Definitely. Just like the Lord is rejected. Don't think if you are very living, you will be appreciated. No. No. Christ was rejected by men. Yeah. You like to be rejected? All three of you brothers here in the front. How about, brother, you like to be rejected? How about LaSalle, brother? How about University of California, Irvine, brother? Nobody likes to be rejected. But, yes, just like Christ is, we are living, we will be rejected. Right? We will be rejected. Right? I have not even been to Mindanao and already people warn you about that crazy brother here. I didn't know that I was so infamous. But praise God, our Lord was rejected. But you make sure you are precious and chosen by God. That is what you need to take care of. If you're rejected by God and welcomed by men, it is not good. Better the other way around. Right? Rejected by men, but precious, chosen by God. Amen. This is much better. Amen. Right? So make sure, in the eyes of God, you are precious. And you must be full of life. Because God is a God of life. And the Lord says, I am the life. You also, that means we also, not just Christ. As living stones, we must be the living stone, right? And then to build up a spiritual house, not a physical house, not an organization of men, not a sect, not just a meeting, and not a certain work. God is not building up a work. The goal of our Lord Jesus Christ is to build up Zion, the city of the living God, where He will be the King, not men, right? Amen. And so the house is a spiritual house. Now, how do you define a spiritual house? A person who can give a good message? Am I spiritual? Brian? you see, it's hard. If you say, yes, Uncle John is a spiritual man, how do you assess me as a spiritual man because I gave a message? You know, I could give a good message and not be a spiritual man. You will be grossly mistaken if you judge by the message that a person gives. You should look at the daily living of that person, whether he lives in the Spirit or not. A spiritual man is not judged by his ability to do some work, giving a message. Don't judge by what you see and just by what you hear. You need to really know that person, how he lives. The life of Christ on this earth is fully one with God. A person who lives like Paul, he lives by Christ. It's not what he does or what he did, but how he lives in his daily living. Right? So here, the church is a spiritual house. We have to see this. Not a human, man-made organization, a meeting led by a certain pastor or something like that. No. Right? And then what kind of a priesthood? What did he say here? Oh, forget about that word. Just priesthood. Yeah. To be built up a house and a priesthood. Forget about those adjectives. Living stone. You know, if you take away the word living and spiritual and holy, let me read to you. You also are stones, are being built up a house and a priesthood to offer up sacrifices. I don't know what kind. You think it sounds correct? No. Of course not. It doesn't sound right. You take away those adjectives. You kill the verse that Peter has written. Don't change this verse. No. The priesthood has to be holy because the spiritual sacrifices are holy things. That's why each time we come to keep the feast, we have to be cleansed by the living water. We have to ask the Lord to cleanse us thoroughly with His precious blood. Right? We have to wash ourselves, just like a priest before he enters into the Holy of Holies, there is a sea of brass. Why is it called brass? Because it will judge you. It's like a mirror. That brass is made out of the mirror that the women keep looking at themselves daily, and also the men, of course. So that when you come to be washed here with the water, you will see yourself and be judged by the Lord, and then you clean yourself with the living water. Just like what Hebrews says, if you want to enter into the Holy of Holies, you must be sprinkled in your conscience, and then your body is washed with pure water. Praise the Lord. It's all available for us. The blood was shed for the forgiveness and remission of our sins. And the Holy Spirit, as the river of water, is readily available. In fact, even within you and me and all of us, there's a fountain of living water, isn't it? And the Lord says, out of your innermost being shall flow what? A trickle. Drops of living water. No, not drops, but just one river.
Rivers.
With S, plural. Why don't we apply it? Let's apply it, brothers and sisters. Let's apply it. Coming every Lord's Day, let's apply all these wonderful items made available by our Lord Jesus Christ for our sanctification, for our healing, for our cleansing, that we can approach with boldness before the Lord to keep the feast and to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not animal sacrifices, okay? Otherwise, my goodness, you will need a large place there. You have to bring an ox, and I bring a dove, and he brings I don't know what, you know. Then, my goodness, it will be like a marketplace. So people say, oh, that's the Old Testament days, you know, sacrificing. Yes, in the Old Testament it's animals, but today we are offering spiritual sacrifices. And who do you think these spiritual sacrifices are? Christ, of course. What else? You? Me? Am I going to sacrifice you? Oh, yeah. Why not? I would rather sacrifice you than me. I'll put you on the altar. How about that? No good. Really no good. Yeah. We are not the sacrifice. The spiritual sacrifices are Christ. Gained by you, gained by me, gained by each one of us, and we bring those spiritual sacrifices to the Father. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And this is what we do in Zion. Yes. So, you have the living stones, you have the spiritual house, you have the holy priesthood, you have the spiritual sacrifices. Mine, praise the Lord. And there we all come together to Zion. Amen.
Amen.
And then it says here in verse 9, then we definitely are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Now, I come back to this point. Today we are kings and priests, but not a king to rule on this earth today. Now is not the age for us to rule. No, don't try to rule Manila. Duterte will knock at your door there. Yeah. What? Are you competing with me? You're going to rule over the Philippines? The Philippines? No. No. Today is not a time for us to rule. But today is a time for us to be a priest. Why it is called a royal priesthood? Because this priesthood, the practice of the priesthood, will qualify each one of us to be a king in the future. You don't practice the priesthood, you will not be royal. You will not be very royal, I tell you. It's called a royal priesthood because it will make you royal, kingly. It will train you to be a king. If you just listen, go to denomination, sit there, listen, and give some money and go home, don't think that will make you a king. You believe that will change you and make you into a king? No, it will make you a clown. You become a clown, not a king. Yep. Really? Because you will not know what you believe and what you are. You'll be acting like a clown in your daily living. But if you practice the royal priesthood, it will certainly make you more and more kingly. And this is for the building up of Zion, where the throne of God will be established, just like what the prophet says in Zechariah. The Lord says, here in Jerusalem will be my throne, not just for 1,000 years, but forever. This is what we are aiming for. Now it is exactly 12 o'clock. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Have some prayer.